latest episode of the Professional Builder Podcast has arrived, and we're exploring some of the industry's most vital issues. Peter Bennett, OBE, is Executive Director of the Ladder Association. With falls from heights still the biggest cause of fatalities on site, the not-for-profit industry body exists to promote the safe use of portable ladders. We find out what builders should be doing to keep safe. Before that, we engage with an invaluable organisation that is dedicated to the physical, emotional and financial well-being of construction workers and their families. Sarah Bolton, the new CEO of the Lighthouse Construction Industry Charity, explains what this worthy cause is already doing to support the trades and its plans for the future. So Sarah, how does the Lighthouse Construction Industry Charity support the construction workforce?
I think we support in lots of unique ways. Our support can cover emotional, physical and financial support. And there isn't really anything that we don't support with. It's always best to give us a call and check.
Yeah. Can you tell us what your ambitions will be for the Lighthouse Charity in the years ahead?
I think we've got really, really big plans. We've got lots of really new things coming along with supporting apprenticeships, trying to do some work around the skill shortage. Obviously, we are, of course, limited to things that are outside of our control. I mean, 80% of the world are going to polls this year. There's lots of things, you know, the war and so on and so forth, that certain factors we can't control. But what we are seeing is lots of different things coming to the helpline. So we'll try to be agile to make sure we have the services to support those things.
How can builders support the charity themselves?
I think the biggest thing they can do for us is to raise awareness of our services to people that may need support that they interact with. So by word of mouth, making sure that people kind of break down the barrier and say it is okay to call, because that's really one of the biggest things that stop people reaching out for support is being confident enough to reach out.
Now, mental health and wellbeing has been a significant focus for you and for the industry in recent years. Can you give us some insight into some of the charity's work in that area and what plans you have in the future?
Yeah, so we're currently reaching our largest numbers that we've ever managed to reach through our MIV tours. So that project is really working well. We'll continue to refine our services for specific issues as they arise. But we're also ensuring that we're promoting our financial and physical support. It's not just around emotional support, because you tend to find that all of these things are inextricably linked throughout life.
Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about your Wellbeing Academy and how that fits in with the mental health strategy?
Yeah, so we're approached quite a lot around people needing some support with soft skills. So we put together the Wellbeing Academy, and it covers many, many subjects. And it is around financial training. So we've got bang on budget, credit and borrowing. There's emotional support for anxiety, stress management. We've got lots of different courses, and there's different levels. And because they can access it sort of on the go, it's e-learning. So it's very easily accessible, and they can do it in their own free time.
So in what ways can tradespeople get in touch with you if they are struggling?
I think, well, it's always great that, you know, if they've got the confidence initially is to pick up the phone. Our helpline is available 24/7. If not, we have a text service, or we've recently introduced a live chat service, which can also cover multiple languages. So this can support, you know, the majority of people. And there is also the app that they can download and immediately get through to support should they require it.
Well, what sort of help do you provide people typically, and how many people does the charity actually help?
I think it'd be easier to say what we don't help with, in all honesty, because there isn't really a definitive list. We can support with any emotional, physical and financial support. I would always say it's best to give a call, because if we don't have something to cover the issue you're calling around, we'll definitely find somebody that has a specialist support in that area. Last year, we supported 4,435 families, which was a 40% increase on the year before.
So you're finding that obviously in these difficult times with the cost of living crisis and so on, that you are seeing increased demand on your services?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've already seen a big uplift in the first 2 months of this year. So we're not expecting that to sort of be going down at any time soon.
No. So finally, what would your message be to anyone in the industry who finds themselves struggling, whether that's emotionally, financially or physically?
I think just pick up the phone, reach out for support. We're non-judgmental. Nothing is too big or too small for us to help with. And even if you just want to phone up and have a chat, we're always at the end of the phone and available for, you know, to support you.
Brilliant. Thanks so very much for your time, Sarah. It's the Lighthouse Construction Industry Charity and a very worthy cause.
Thank you, Lee.
The Lighthouse Construction Industry Charity is on a mission to ensure that no construction worker or their family is alone in a crisis. The charity offers a whole range of resources to support the sector, and you can visit www.lighthouseclub.org for more information. Pick up the latest edition of Professional Builder Magazine at your local builders merchant trade counter today. You can read a digital flipbook version on the Professional Builder website at www.probuildermag.co.uk, where you can also sign up to receive every issue via email. The Ladder Association is your destination for guidance and training on the safe use of portable ladders. The organisation's Executive Director, Peter Bennett, OBE, provides some insight on working at height issues and how the trades can be more confident that they're using the right equipment.
The Ladder Association is a not-for-profit organisation, a lead industry body, whose purpose is to promote the safe use of ladders. We have been around for rather a long time. Last year we celebrated 75 years. We've got over 80 members, including manufacturers, suppliers, training centres. In simple terms, we're here to fly the flag for ladder safety. We provide simple, practical, and most importantly for some, free guidance to help make sure everyone who climbs a ladder comes back down safely. We actively campaign to make using ladders safer, and we work in collaboration with Health and Safety Executive, regulatory departments and enforcement agencies. And our goal is to make sure that everyone who climbs a ladder comes back down safely.
So what's its relevance to small and medium-sized building contractors?
Well, if you look at SMEs and ladder use in particular, it's estimated that there are a staggering 2 million ladders in regular use. And many, if not all, SMEs will be using ladders on a daily basis for a variety of jobs. So yes, I think we can agree it's very relevant to SME building contractors.
Indeed, yes. Can you give us some insight into the scale of the problem when it comes to working at height then, with some of the working at height accident figures?
Last statistics, 2022-2023 from HSE, over 5,000 people in Great Britain were injured at work due to a fall from height. Sadly, 40 also lost their lives. These are required by law to be reported by employers through RIDOR, but we know there is substantial underreporting of non-fatal falls from height for all workers, but particularly amongst the self-employed, the small micro businesses, who from research that HSE undertook some time ago were found to report just 12% of workplace incidents. But according to the Labour Force Survey, which is an alternative data source, the number of falls from height over the last 10 years may be as much as 425,000. To sort of corroborate that, to compare numbers, hospital data from Scotland, England and Wales, however, shows that almost 8,000 people each year find themselves in hospital after falling on or from a ladder. 91% of those are emergencies into A&E, and the average time in hospital for those admitted is 2 to 4 days. But, you know, if you're a self-employed or a small business, that time of work can have considerable impact on your livelihood and your finances, aside from the obvious physical consequences and experience of a fall.
So do you think at the micro level, at the small builder, the local jobbing builder level, there's a particular problem with working at height then and with complying with some of the rules?
Well, the construction sector sadly consistently accounts for the largest number of fatalities of workers in general. 45 out of 135 workplace deaths in 2022-23. That's about a third in the construction sector. Almost two-thirds, 25 out of 40 of fall from height fatalities in 2022-23 occurred in the construction sector. Unfortunately, ladders are often the most misused across companies of all sizes because, well, on the face of it, they appear so simple that people assume there's not much to know. They're certainly accessible and for SMEs, usually close to hand in the back of the van. It's quick and it's easy to reach for ladders to get the job done. And while they can be really a sensible and practical option for low-risk and short-duration tasks, the advice from the Ladder Association is it shouldn't automatically be your first choice. We do know that time and money pressures, particularly in small micro-businesses, are ever present to get the job done. And of course, this general belief that we hear time and time again, it'll never happen to me. Our job is to help educate Lather users, raise awareness of the risk involved, and offer accessible free guidance on how to use them safely.
Yeah. So are there some simple steps that tradespeople can follow to stay safe then?
Well, firstly, make sure they're using safe equipment. Of course, we like to say one of the easiest ways for you to do that is to make sure you're buying from a Lather Association member. Make sure you've planned the work ahead properly to mitigate and to assess any risks. And make sure you're trained to use the equipment safely and spot hazards that might arise at an approved Lather Association training centre. Certainly is what we would recommend. And if you think the equipment, the job, or anything about what you're doing is unsafe, stop work. I know that can be a difficult thing to do when the job needs done, but the number of people we've spoken to who say, if only I'd done this or done that, or not done this or not done that, it's just not worth the risk. Your family are waiting for you at home.
Tool Fair and Professional Builder Live is coming to a venue near you in 2024. The Yorkshire Events Centre plays host to the trade exhibition that puts tradespeople at its heart on the 16th and 17th of May. Following that, it's the Coventry Building Society Arena on 12th and 13th of September. At every event, there's great show deals on tools and equipment from some of the biggest brands and the chance to get hands-on. If that's not enough, then every attendee is entitled to a free bacon roll and a Professional Builder t-shirt, whilst parking is free. For dates for all upcoming shows and free tickets, visit toolfair.info.
The Ladder Association has done some very good work recently in reporting on the issue of non-compliant ladders, particularly being sold online. Can you give us an indication of the scale of the problem there?
As you say, the Ladder Association has been for quite some time highlighting the real and very serious issue of the availability and use of substandard, particularly imported ladders in the UK market for many years. There is a known and recognised lack of regulation of online platforms and marketplaces. And in respect of our market ladder surveillance campaign, in the first round of that in 2022, that study revealed that over 80% of the telescopic ladders that we tested failed to meet the minimum safety requirements designed to keep users safe. We retested a proportion of those in 2023. Every single set failed. And in late 2023, we tested the top 10 multipurpose ladders found via Google search, and 70% of the multipurpose ladders tested failed as well. In fact, we just received reports in the last couple of days that a further 13 consignments of telescopic and multipurpose ladders have been intercepted and rejected at the UK border.
So what can builders do to make sure they're purchasing ladders that are fit for purpose then?
Our best advice at this stage is, firstly, undertake some research before you buy. Check the reviews, but beware of, and I'm sure people are now more aware of, fake reviews. Don't buy just in price. Don't assume that products online are safe. Online platforms can sell anything from anywhere in the world, often with little or no checks. Avoid ladders that claim to be CE or UKCA marked. It is not possible to have ladders that are CE and or UKCA marked. The regulations don't cover ladders. So that's a real indicator that you should give that product a miss. Check the product certification. Go to the supplier or manufacturer and ask for a copy of the certification that verifies the products have been tested independently to EN131, the product standard for ladders. And of course, I'd be likely to say one of the easiest ways for you to make sure all of that happens is to buy from a Ladder Association member.
So are there any other product standards you need to look out for? Are they the main ones? Are they EN131 and obviously Ladder Association membership?
Indeed. Well, all the ladders should now be designed and manufactured to the current EN131 standard only. There have been in the past various British standards. Those have now all been withdrawn. And the EN131 suite of standards covers all of the variations of ladders. Our one point to make here, or to just raise, is that one of the issues that we saw in our surveillance studies was bogus labelling. So basically manufacturers or suppliers claiming that products comply with the standard, but you just need to scratch a little bit below the surface and you find out that they don't comply with the standard at all, as their tests uncovered, sadly.
Yeah, yeah. We understand you run a number of training courses as well. Can you tell us a bit about those?
We absolutely do. The Ladder Association administers the leading ladder training scheme through a network of approved training centres. I mentioned that at the top of the conversation. Although ladders are fairly simple pieces of work equipment, like all work equipment, you're required to be competent to use them. It's one of the most difficult things that we've had to try and overcome as an organisation in the last 10, 15 years is to persuade users and managers of those who work at height that people should be trained to use ladders. One of the ways to demonstrate a competence, or certainly one of the ways that can help to demonstrate competence, is to be able to provide evidence of training. There are accredited courses for ladder users, there's accredited courses for people who inspect ladders, and indeed for managers themselves who are responsible for ladder use, because managers need to be competent as well. They need to know what good looks like, and they need to know equally what does bad look like. Training is more about just climbing a ladder. It's about assessing the risks. It's about knowing when it's right to use a ladder, and equally, or perhaps even more importantly, when it's not right, and understanding which type of ladder to use and how to use it. Ultimately, our advice is quite clear. Make sure, if it's right to use a ladder, make sure you use the right ladder and make sure that you're trained to use it safely.
Finally then, can you tell us about some of the active campaigns that the Ladder Association is currently running?
One of the ongoing campaigns that we have is, we referred to it previously in some of the market surveillance activity, which is and the overarching step up to safe ladders. And that highlights the very real danger of poor quality ladders on the market, especially those that are for sale via online platforms. We have been carrying out safety tests on ladders that we anonymously buy online and in stores to check that they're up to standard. Unfortunately, as I've mentioned before, we find a huge issue with rogue manufacturers and suppliers bringing unsafe and quite honestly dangerous products onto the market, especially ones we've seen sold on online platforms like Amazon, eBay and other such platforms. The other important point I'd make is that we as an organisation, along with our colleagues in Access Industry Forum, are supporting the No Falls Week. That's a campaign that's been run by the No Falls Foundation, the charity in the work ahead sector. The mission of that No Falls Week is simple, yet it's crucial to raise awareness about the importance of safe working at height. It will be taking place on May 13th to 17th, and you can catch that and catch the details on that and sign up to support it at the No Falls Foundation website.
Peter, that's great. Thanks very much for your time. There's loads of really useful information there for small builders.
Lee, thank you very much for having me. Hope that has been of some help to others. And as we've said before, if you need anything, Ladder Association website or even the HSE website will generally point you towards the Ladder Association guidance as well.
We'd like to hear some of your experiences about sourcing the right safety equipment. Have you ever encountered non-compliant and potentially dangerous products, for example? We want builders to be heard. So simply pick up your phone, open voice memo and speak your mind. You can send it to pb@hamerville.co.uk. The Ladder Association's avowed ambition is for everyone who climbs a ladder to come back down safely. To view some of the resources it makes available, visit ladderassociation.org.uk. Thank you for listening.